This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Some places pride themselves as great cities for music. New York, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Nashville. Well, in Texas, those bragging rights tend to go to Houston and Austin. But a new documentary turns the spotlight on another side of the business, staking a claim for another Texas city. Talking about the beatmakers of the Big D. The film is called Sound Collective Dallas Up, and the man behind it, Dallas producer Joel Garcia, better known as Sick Wit It. Welcome to Texas Standard.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, let me ask you something. Shall I refer to you as Joel or Mr. Garcia or Sick Wit It? What would you prefer?
Yeah, I prefer Sick Wit It. Yeah.
Where'd you get
usually the government name usually kicks into play for like media stuff, and then obviously with my family. So, but everybody knows me as Sick Wit It.
So you mean your mom doesn't call you Sick Wit It?
No, in public she does.
That's the rule, right? So where did you get the name?
Man, you know, I was a part of a rap group early in my career, and then we were trying to start a label at the time, and so I was just doing a lot of production for a lot of the people we were working with at the time, and they'd be walking in the studio and I'll be in the middle of making a beat, and they'd be like, "Man, that dude's sick with it, man, for real. He's sick with it." And it just kind of stuck after that. And when we finally decided to go full time with the rapping, I was like, I like Sick With It. I think we're going to go with that. I think that works. So
that's cool. Your focus in this documentary is on producers. And I think a lot of folks have an idea of what a producer is. But what is a producer to you?
Man, to me, a producer is not only somebody who loves music, but it's a person who sees a song to completion. We have a lot of people who are actually like beat makers, and they just make the music, but I think an overall producer makes the music, tries to accommodate the artist, sees the artist as an instrument, puts it all together, make sure it's mixed right, and make sure that it actually should be released, you know what I mean? Sure it's in the best interest of the artist. So
this is an interesting thing, because like if you talk about the scene in Houston, you're often talking about the artist, but as I understand, what you're turning the spotlight on is a movement of producers, a producer scene that's happening in Dallas. Who are some of the players involved? And am I right, by the way, about what you're trying to communicate here?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, that's spot on. Man, we got a lot of them. Obviously, we have the main guys like S1, you know, Symbolic One, who's produced for Eminem and Jay-Z and Beyonce. But we have a new wave of producers, man. We got like The Kraken, Boo the Misfit, Reezy Tunes, G Rose, Medicine, B Barber, Keys on the Track, Campion Bond, Celebrity, DC, Freddie Bruno, Scotch and Doe, Malix, October 1st, Mousequake. And that's just who's premiered in the actual film. I can do another film today and have a whole nother group of producers that are just as equally good or better.
When you have a movement of artists, quite often people sort of rally around that because they're names that are familiar, they're the names that are on, you know, they're on the imprint, they're the names that DJs will shout out and that sort of thing. When you have producers, there's typically in the background, right? I mean, how did this movement sort of happen in Dallas?
You know, it's always in the background. You have major producers like the Timberlands and the Jay-Z's and the Swiss Beats and the Kanye West's and those guys. But I think what people fail to realize is that a lot of those guys have always collaborated with one another or with other producers that don't have big names. And so for us, I think we embrace that, you know, and a lot of times you don't know that about those big producers until you read the liner credits. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And for us, because we're such students of it, we realize like, man, all these big placements, those guys didn't get those by themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of decided to start working together, and I think with that, it just kind of bubbled and surfaced, and a lot of people have been starting to recognize that, and it's unfortunate. I think, you know, as an artist, they tend to see each other as more of a competition. For us, we understand how hard it is to get in, especially because we're not the spotlight. We are the background, so it's even harder for us to get some kind of recognition or opportunity. And so we figured, like, well, let's do it together. Let's eat. You can utilize my contacts. I'll utilize your contacts. Mm-hmm. And let's see what happens. And so I think it's beginning to shine a little brighter now here in Dallas. And a lot of, even the artists are starting to pay attention. Like, man, those producers, they got it right. They're doing it the right way. Maybe we should take a page from their book.
I'm sort of surprised, though, Dallas. I mean, there are a lot of cities where, you know, you have an industry that's kind of built up and that supports recording. Dallas doesn't come to mind, at least on a sort of a short list. I think of L.A. and New York, obviously, maybe Chicago. And right. You know, and when people think of music cities in Texas, they often think Austin and Houston. But Dallas isn't always the first that comes to mind. So why do you think Dallas has become this kind of center?
Yeah, it's just we got a base of a real jazzy and bluesy type music. You know, one of the more popular areas where music is listened to and played and performed is in the Deep Ellum area here in Dallas. And, you know, those strips back in the day, they were all jazz clubs. They were, you know, blues clubs. And we were really popular for the big boogie movement for a while there, which is a dance movement. And but that really didn't portray all of Dallas. That was just one part of Dallas. And because we're so, our roots are so musical, I think our sound is a broad sound. If you notice, like, the people that have had big success out of Dallas has been a little bit of all genres, not just a big hip-hop scene. You have Erykah Badu, who's got neo-soul and R&B roots, and you have, like, Duro Music, who's straight rap. Then you have Kelly Clarkson and Leon Bridges and people like that, and it's just all different. And so I think our communication in this from here on out has been, yo, we're Dallas. We do our own thing, and our whole thing happens to be everything.
Part of the, I guess, one of the most interesting elements of this, you got 13 producers to do 10 beats in 7 days. What was involved there, and why did you put that constraint on it?
Well, it was really cool because I had a friend in Chicago who is a producer, and he was doing this little campaign where he was going to try to do 25 beats in a week. It was either a week or 12 days. It mm-hmm. might have been 12 days, mm-hmm. 25 beats in 12 days. And it just really had my attention. I was like, yo, I was tuned in every day. I was like, man, is this guy going to be able to pull this off? And he came short. He obviously didn't do the 25. But the cool element to me was to try to do this all in a week, publicize it, let people follow us and get excited. And originally this film was supposed to be put out like 2 weeks after we finished the project. I bit off more than I could chew, and that's another story, but I just wanted to build that excitement around it. Uh-huh. Now making it happen, it was very tiring, first of all. It was, especially like for me, you know, all the guys that were involved, it was on a day-to-day basis. I had one producer scheduled for one session a day. Yeah. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, I had two sessions for each day. But me personally, I was a contributor in all sessions. So by Saturday, I was already feeling it. It's totally different when you're doing it on your own versus tapping into somebody's mind and process and trying to accommodate their sound one every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure, sure.
I think that's kind of what it was all about. I just wanted to make it exciting at the moment.
You know, I have to ask for people who, you know, don't know a whole lot about the music and everything. How do you know when you've completed a beat? I mean, what is it that sort of gives you the start and the finish and you say, okay, I'm done, man?
If you're me, it's never done. I think producers are perfectionists a lot of times. We'll always want to go back and fix something, remix something, tweak it. There's no like starting point, I would say. It could be triggered by anything. It could be triggered by something I'm watching. It could be triggered by just, you know, something playing in the background. And I think one of the most important things is that you as a producer have to be in love with sounds. Sometimes it could be a rhythm or a pattern. You can be walking outside and hear some construction work, or it could be anything, just the patterns of your feet when you're walking up the stairs. Mm-hmm. It can set off and trigger it at any time.
Joel Sigwidit Garcia is a Dallas producer and maker of the documentary Sound Collective, Dallas Up. Sigwidit, thanks so much for taking time to speak with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all for reaching out. Thank you so much.